Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Sherline.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast, Episode 6. Today is September 14th, the official first day of training camp. I am your host, Michael Sherline, as always. This week on the podcast, we've got Joe Yearden of The Athletic, Buffalo, and he spoke to us about Robin Lehner and his own letter to fans yesterday in The Athletic. Talking about his struggles with alcohol and drug addiction and his recent diagnosis of being bipolar and all the struggles related to that. So it's worth a listen. Keep an ear out for that later on in the episode. We're also going to talk about the start of training camp, the players who are invited to camp on PTOs. We're going to take your Twitter questions once again. Been a lot of activity in that regard this week. We're also going to speak about a new feature that I'm going to try out for a future episode. I've actually created a Discord channel named The Isles Faithful, and you are all going to be able to call in a sense. I will grant people permission to speak one at a time, and it's like a multi-line chat, you know, room, and also you'll be able to speak with a headset and get on the podcast that way. My idea from the beginning was, as the Isles Faithful, the name kind of embodies fans. I want to be able to give back to all you guys. I want everyone to be able to speak their mind. You know, everyone deserves a voice, and I want to be the voice of everyone. So it'll be a pretty cool way. Maybe once a month we'll do an episode where we're just going to speak to fans, and I'll pick a co-host for that week. And we'll host you guys in like a round table. So it should be pretty fun. I'm going to toy around with that this week. So look out on my Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for some teasers and stuff like that. So we're going to get right into it. All right. So joining me this week on episode 6 of the Isles Faithful podcast is Joe Yearden of The Athletic, who covers the Buffalo Sabres. Joe and I go back a couple of years. I don't exactly remember the first time that we met, maybe one of the drafts and stuff like that, up maybe even in Ottawa. I think we met the first time.
It goes back even further than that, 2009 Montreal.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go. So I'm pretty sure you sat either right next to me or behind me, and you know, we kind of just hit it off from there, and I believe we actually had gone out after that too. So,
yeah, that was a good weekend in a very fun city.
It was. I look back to my time in Montreal, and I definitely need to get back. That's one of those cities that's just an amazing place to visit, and Canada in general, especially you living up by Buffalo. I'm sure you're well aware of how friendly and how awesome just Canada is. All right, but we're gonna get into your team's ex-goaltender in Robin Lehner, and obviously in The Athletic today he wrote a very interesting piece on himself, which was kind of unexpected and seemed like it was out of left field, but I'm sure that it wasn't. So we'll go into, tell us a little bit about Robin when he was on the Buffalo Sabres, and maybe go into the Robin that, you know, you didn't see on the ice, that the type of person he was off the ice.
Yeah, Robin was always a great guy to talk to and a good person to get to know, because you know from covering hockey and talking about hockey is that sometimes guys with personalities are a bit lacking in the NHL. And Robin's not lacking on personality. He's always had a fire to him, and he's always been very personable and just very open and very honest about just about anything you would ask him about. And, you know, he's a guy who cares very much for his teammates. He's a big family man. You know, if you get him talking about his kids, or his, you know, the rest of his family, he couldn't be more excited to talk about him. And, he's somebody who's, you know, you can ask him tough questions. And if he doesn't like them, he'll respect you for it, and you might have to have a discussion with him later on, and you might have to clear the air a little bit. But yeah, you know, when it comes to having NHL guys be open and honest and talking to you, yeah, I mean, he's at the top of the list. He's always been very pleasant to deal with, and you know, that's why I think that's why seeing what we did in the Athletic today from him. I mean, it was, you know, it's his words. And seeing everything that he was going through was a bit of a shock, because, you know, everything that he was dealing with, from, you know, from the alcohol to sleeping pills to being bipolar, you see none of that stuff in the dressing room. You don't hear about it. You don't have an idea. I mean, there was no clue that he was dealing with anything, especially late in the year. You know, like he said, that, you know, the game in which he discussed was a home game against Detroit, I believe. And, you know, that, you know, you don't really have an idea of what a guy's dealing with. And I think that's key for just about anybody. You just don't ever really have any idea what's going on off the ice, because you're not privy to that. And you don't know. And to see everything that he's dealt with and what he's has going on and what he had to address this summer is eye-opening and stunning. And, you know, it's one of these things where I was anxious to see him when the Islanders came to town, or if I was going to be on the road down in Brooklyn or Long Island when the Sabres play down there, to seeing him and talking to him again. But now it's something where I absolutely cannot wait, because I just, you know, want to talk to the guy, know everything's okay. And, you know, that's the kind of thing, you know, you develop sometimes from covering a team. And it blows me away to know that he was dealing with all this and that he's coming through on the other side in a positive light.
That's, you know, a good point. To see someone, you know, you get to know these players, especially, you know, coming up and seeing players drafted by an organization. And Robin wasn't drafted by Buffalo. You know, he came up through Ottawa prior, but to get to know players on a personal level, especially when you're dealing with them every day. And I haven't dealt with players on a daily basis, you know, in about 6-7 years now. So, I mean, it's something that I sorely miss, and I hope to eventually, you know, parlay this into maybe doing stuff on the regular again, but that's another story. Mm-hmm. As a hockey player myself, you know, and I've gone into this, I only played high school, you know, I wish to have played on levels that these guys get to experience, because it truly is like a blessing. And I think a lot of them realize that. And from a human interest aspect, you know, you forget sometimes that all these guys are human beings. You know, we see them as these amazing athletes, and, you know, you lose the personification in a sense, because they're out there to entertain us, and they're out there to kind of put their heart out and their blood out there in certain respects as well. So to see someone pour their heart out in the way that he did and just basically use that to vent, because I'm sure that the last couple of months since free agency has been like a whirlwind for him, especially with some of the stuff that was said about, you know, the unnamed GM. Mm-hmm. You know, and I genuinely feel for him, which is why I wrote a comment on the article. Not that I thought that he would see it, but I said, Robin, you've got a fan in me. Life is about ownership, and you've battled like a true warrior and know enough to stop and seek the help that you needed. And then I go on. I said, life is hard no matter what job you've got. I'm glad that you're bettering yourself as a person, a father, a husband, and now an athlete. I have no doubt that this will make you the goalie the hockey world knows that you can be, and I'm ecstatic that it's with the team I'm a fan of who gave you this chance that you need. You know, and I go on to some other stuff, you know, about sharing and everything else. So I'm glad that he seems to be the personable person that he makes himself out to be. And again, like, I'm, as a father, you know, I'm happy that he is going to better himself for his kids, because it definitely seems, you know, that everybody in his family unit was suffering. So go into maybe, how do you think that he was able to mask this stuff for so long, and especially, you know, have the save percentage that he did, given, you know, Buffalo's struggles and his own internal struggles? You know, you deal with a lot of players on a daily basis, so, you know, what is your opinion on that?
Well, I, as far as being able to keep the personal stuff to yourself. I think that's something that's a little easier for players to do, because once they're out of the locker room and they're away from the arena, you know, they're basically off limit. Well, not off limits to us, but they're out of our sight, and we're, you know, we don't see how they live. We don't know how they, you know, how things go for them, unless they're mixing into, you know, our social life somehow, or, you know, we're running in the same circles in some way, which doesn't really happen too much. You know, I think sometimes when you're I know for me, if I'm out someplace and I see players out having a good time, I'm probably leaving that place and going somewhere else, because that's not my business. That's their time. I'm on my time, and you know, let's keep it separated. I don't think players would care for it, and I know I wouldn't be a big fan of players seeing me out, but I think as far as continuing to be a player and to be a professional and dealing with all that, you're able to compartmentalize all of that in a similar way, where it's, you know, you're at the rink and you're like, okay, I got to do this here, and I got to try to do this the best I can. Now, mind you, everything that he was dealing with, I mean, that's probably something that has an effect on your game. I would find it hard to believe that it couldn't, because that's a lot. I mean, right away he talks about how having a panic attack in the middle of a game was affecting him, and you know, that kind of thing's really, I can't comprehend trying to play a game and having a panic attack or having an anxiety takeover like that. But I think that's at the point where you realize you got to get it fixed, you got to get it changed. And I think for him to be able to have the kind of success he's had, you know, a couple seasons ago, he was a 921 save percentage goalie, and that's pretty good. Pretty good in the NHL to do that well. And you know, obviously Buffalo's had its own problems with finding success otherwise, but I think it speaks well to him that he was able to do as well as he did. But I'm going to be very curious to see what he's like now after, you know, after getting treated, after getting these things sorted out and getting it, you know, getting his life back together. I'm going to be very interested to see if this is a complete life-changing moment for him, because he's still pretty young. I mean, he's not, we're not talking about a guy who's on the wrong side of 30. I mean, he's like 25, 26 years old. He's a guy who could have a lot of years to go in the NHL, and it's going to be very interesting to see how he handles that this season. Granted, I know the Islanders are in a tough spot with some of the things they're doing, but you got a guy like Barry Trotz coaching the team, and you've got Mitch Korn, and you've got these other guys there to help him out as goalie coaches. You couldn't ask for a better, you know, surrounding group for him to have to get his career back in line.
You know, I, to that point, everything that has happened with the Islanders, aside from Tavares leaving, I've been ecstatic about. Like, I really have. I've not been this excited for hockey to start in a long time. You know, and I think it's the Mitch Korn, it's the Piero Greco, it's the obviously the elephant in the room in Barry Trotz, Lou Lamoriello. So you have this group of management around that Islander fans are not used to. I mean, we've had Jack Capuano, we've had Scott Gordon, we had Ted Nolan, and Ted Nolan was a good coach. I think he was just a victim of an extremely awkward and bad situation, and I know you probably know a little more to that end than I do.
That sounds very familiar, yes.
But, you know, I'm curious to see what Barry Trotz and his, you know, associate coaches and assistant coaches can get out of Robin. And, you know, you look at some of the attitude problems that Robin had previously, and you have to, you know, you scratch your head and you say, all right, well, how much of this was because of his, you know, manic depressive state of mind, and was he reaching out or screaming for help this whole entire time, and nobody was really, you know, able to listen and give him the help that he needed until he was ready. I mean, because you can't help anybody until they're ready. So that's another thing. But I want someone who has a chip on their shoulder. I want someone who has a lot to prove. This whole team has a lot to prove, you know, in light of Tavares leaving for Toronto. So all of these things are positives. You know, you want him to succeed and you want him to remain sober. And I just think that he's set himself up in a way where he has, like I keep mentioning, this support group around him, because every little piece of media that's trickling out or being allowed to trickle out is something that is so positive. You know, it just fits the whole entire narrative almost perfectly. Like, this is, like, I'm hoping for, like, a storybook season out of the Islanders. And, you know, they might not make the playoffs, and that's okay. But everything moving forward, this is all something that is positive. And, you know, it has the markings of, like, something great in the making here.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people have already written off the Islanders, given, you know, you lose Tavares, and I think the free agent signings probably didn't do a lot to move the needle in a positive, I mean, at least from people on the outside to say, oh, geez, Leo Komarov. But these are all guys that work hard. These are all guys that play their tails off. I mean, I know Matt Martin was getting raked over the coals in Toronto, but, I mean, his whole career as an Islander was one that I think a lot of fans loved and adored him. So I think it's good that he gets to go back there, and that's going to work out fine. But I mean, you're right. I think every other move that they made this offseason was a great one. I mean, they get Barry Trotz, and you're suddenly like, wow, well, if they can keep Tavares, this team's going to be a lot of fun. Well, okay, you lose Tavares, but you still have Matt Barzal. You're going to have, you know, guys like Kiefer Bellows coming along in the future. You're going to have some of these other young guys that are just going to have nothing but opportunity. And to me, that's all you can ask for. I mean, yeah, it stinks to lose a superstar, but I see everything else that they've got set up. And this team isn't going to be one that's going to roll over. You know, people aren't just going to walk over the Islanders. There's not going to be a game where they're just going to get the doors blown off of them. That doesn't happen to Barry Trotz teams. That certainly does not happen to Lou Lamoriello created teams, because that stuff that doesn't fly. There's not a lot of patience from either of those guys to allow that stuff to kind of keep happening. And I think in this case, I mean, yeah, there's going to be some bumps. How can there not be? But I think the Islanders are going to be a very difficult team. They're going to create some headaches for, I think that Metropolitan Division's evil, but I think they're going to create a lot of headaches for everybody there. And it's not going to be easy wins for anyone. And who knows, maybe they're going to get lucky and, you know, maybe make a run at a wild card, or maybe they can knock a rival team out of a wild card spot. That's fun too.
Yeah, there's definitely a bunch of different narratives that, you know, you can say that can happen this season, you know, as you can in every season. Did you really expect New Jersey to have the season that they did last year? I'm pretty sure that 90% of the league had them written off.
Yeah, that pretty much them and Colorado both. I think everybody said these are bad teams. They're going to suffer. It's going to take a little while, but maybe they'll get there. And then they got there right away. So, yeah, things happen. Magic can happen at any time.
Absolutely. I did not expect Colorado to turn it around, especially after they dealt Matt Duchene and the way that Nate McKinnon kind of put the team on his back and rose to the occasion once Duchene was out of the spotlight was something special. And I kind of rooted for them a little bit. I tend to pick a team out west and almost in every single division, you know, who I want to see succeed. Because, like, if you're a hockey fan, you're a hockey fan. You're always going to have a team that's close to your heart, especially teams that you cover. But anything can happen, especially in this league with all the parity and everything else. So, I mean, to your point, you never know what's going to happen. You know, Pittsburgh's getting a little older. Philadelphia seemed to get a little stronger, but in certain areas, there's still some question marks. New Jersey is obviously New Jersey. Goaltending, they have some issues there. It's a matter of if Schneider is healthy. Can Keith Kincaid, you know, handle the load? I'm excited for your club. You got a couple of bright spots there, and I want to see Oposo, you know, with a second full healthy season under his belt. You know, so there's just so many different things for every club, you know, and it's all the little things that make or break sometimes. And, you know, back to the Islanders, I'm excited to see what happens. I'm hoping for the best, but, you know, we're buckled in because we have Barry Trotz.
Yeah, and you know what? Hey, if Robin has a bounce-back season and can play the way that I know he's always been capable of playing, I mean, going back to his Ottawa days where you could see glimmers of it, you could see glimmers of it in Buffalo too. But if he can have a great season, you know, that's going to make a huge difference for the Isles, because I think they want Greiss to have that pressure put on him, but I think they also want Robin to be able to excel. It's a nice setup to have. I mean, if Robin can play great, suddenly you're looking at a goalie tandem that could maybe be really solid, you know, to have. And that's a huge change on the island after everything that would happen, what happened last season. I know.
You know, and that's the type of tandem that they had when Yaroslav Halak and Greiss were on their game. You know, Yaro did go down, and Greiss stepped up to the challenge, and he basically won them that series against Florida. So, you know, that's another thing, too. You got Greiss, the unknown wild card here, in how he'll bounce back. You know, and the defense is obviously going to change under Barry Trotz. There's no way that they're going to be in the bottom three of the league next season. So that's another big thing for the goaltending. I think that really the goaltending suffered because the defense kind of went down the tubes in such a strange way. Who would have thought, you know, Boychuk obviously aside, that DeHaan going down and then the Islanders dressing at one point four rookies on defense, you know, like that's kind of unheard of in a sense. But, you know, we can continue on and on and on here, and I know you have some other stuff to do tonight. So give Islander fans a quick assessment, which I know you did briefly, of the type of goaltender that, you know, Robin Lehner is, and what we can expect for him.
Well, I don't imagine that his competitiveness is going to go away. He can be a hot-headed guy out there. I think the first time he chops at a forward who crashes his net and puts a blocker in their face, I think Islanders fans are going to immediately embrace him. Because he does not stand there and take it. He's a bit of a wild card in goal, and that his style is just, you know, he'll you know, and maybe the guys will change this. But he's gonna be very active in that. He's gonna make some crazy saves. If they can work on him to tighten things up on the short side posts and make sure that he can hold his post, I think he'll do very well. But you're going to see some pretty adventurous saves from him. You're going to see some wild action. He's a big guy. He covers a ton of net. And I think if they can get him worked out and do it right, I think Islanders fans are going to have somebody they're going to warm up to immediately. The only thing to worry about is shootouts and penalty shots, because his record has not been good in stopping those. Through, you know, every year in Buffalo, if a game went to a shootout and Robin was involved, chances are Buffalo wasn't going to get a chance, wasn't going to get to win that game. So, I think if it works out and Korn and everybody can get it worked out, maybe that'll change. But to me, he's a guy that you're going to hear Billy Smith comparisons the first time he starts mixing it up with opponents.
I think that's an excellent comparable, and so, you know, as soon as you started saying battling, you gotta like look at battling Billy Smith, and then you got Chico Resch and all these other guys that came through the Islanders organization who had fire under their belt, and even to an extent Rick DiPietro, he kind of protected himself once his head got a little wonky there towards the end of his career. So, you know, that's some good stuff, and I thank you for joining us. Now, let everybody know where they can read your stuff, you know, coming up this upcoming season for Buffalo, and maybe even your Twitter name.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Joe Yerdon, JoeYerdon. And I'm at The Athletic Buffalo. If you've got an Athletic subscription, if you want to, you can follow me directly on there and just look for Joe Yerdon. Or you can decide that you want to follow the Sabres and get all the stories written by myself and John Vogel and Tim Graham and Brian Stimson and anybody else who steps up to the plate. Chris Baker, you want to find out about Sabres prospects in case the trade talks warm up. Follow us all there, and we'll take care of you.
You guys have been doing some amazing stuff at The Athletic, and I'm glad that I was an early adopter over there, especially the way that print media seems to be going. Even my local paper here is going to have a paywall shortly come September 15th. So, you know, I'm only really going to pay for The Athletic moving forward. And I love your stuff. I'm glad that you moved over there. I'm super duper happy for you, man. You've always been a good friend, and hopefully we can get some stuff going when we face off this season. It would be great to have you on for some hot takes and analysis.
Be happy to do it, Mike. And it's great to see you back at this and doing hockey. You know, I've always been a fan, so it's nice to see you getting in the pod game here and getting back at it with the Isles, because the Isles are always worth talking about.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Joe. All right, man. Well, take it easy, and good luck this upcoming season.
Thank you.
And now it's time for the Twitter questions segment. Our first question is from New Yorkalini, Dave. What's going on, Dave? And he asks, with the lack of seed depth and chemistry between 12 and 27, rather than put them with Brock, would you just move Bailey back to C and use one of the wingers with them? Great question. Obviously, we have some unknowns in Jan Kovar. I know, you know, they're going to bounce him around to see where he fits best. So, you know, our three centers are going to wind up being Barzal, Brock Nelson, and Jan Kovar on the first three lines. So I think the coaching staff is going to obviously stick with what they know worked last year, you know, and everybody is new on the coaching staff for this season. So they're going to stick Barzal and Bolivier together and maybe rotate some centers through to see if, you know, there's chemistry there. And you never know what is going to happen. I mean, Kovar could come right out of the gate and be the number one center that we've been looking for. Who knows? So I think you'll see a rotation there. And you might even see, you know, Bailey, like you mentioned, back at his natural position at center. It's just a matter of where things shake out. And the next question is from Brosco. What are your thoughts on Anders Lee going into the season without a contract extension? Possible JT part two? No. I think that this is something completely different than 91. Anders realizes that, you know, he's in a different position here. He obviously loves the area, loves the team. You know, I know he was recently married as well. I don't believe that there's any friction on his new wife's part in wanting to move. For all we know, you know, at least I don't know if she's from the area. She could be from where he's from in Minnesota. Who knows? I mean, we could look into that, right? Isles Twitter is great for investigative work like that. So I believe management is just going to let things play out and they'll revisit this, you know, maybe come January. Between him and also Jordan Eberle. If no contract extension talks are taking place or they refuse to as the trade deadline approaches, you never know. You might see one or both of those players moved. So it's definitely a story to look out for, but I don't believe that there is a risk of losing Lee in a trade or in free agency come July, no. And the next question is from our longtime follower, Nightvine. Which kids do you think have a real possibility of making the team? If Dobson doesn't, do you think he gets a 9-game look? I believe that Dobson is definitely going to get that 9-game look, especially with the way that everyone has been pumping up his name in the recent weeks here. I think that you'll see Bellows get a long look. You're definitely going to see Josh Hosang as one of the first call-ups if he doesn't claim spot right out of camp. Earlier in this episode, I spoke about that with Joe Yearden, who covers the Buffalo Sabres, and even he is excited about some of the prospects that the Islanders have. So, again, there's so many different unknowns. Camp is just starting. You're just going to shake all these names in a pot and basically see who comes to the surface. And they could steal some spots from veteran players. And if it comes to that, like I've mentioned in the past, you could see a buyout. You could see waivers. You could see little tiny trades here. You know, other teams are going to wind up needing veteran presence as well. So if we wind up with like a fourth or a fifth round pick for some of the veterans that we've signed, so be it. If not, see you later, right? So yeah, to your question, Bellows, Dobson, and Hosang, definitely all potential to get looks. I'm not sure if this next one is a question or more of a statement, but it's from Oleg Kavasha. Not the Oleg Kavasha, but the Twitter user Oleg Kavasha. And he says, infrequently do players sign a contract with the team that gave them the PTO, so why bother getting mad online? And that's a great point, because I'm like I said, I don't really believe that's a question, right? So yeah. So they brought in a bunch of players on PTOs. Lucas Pisa, who is a young-ish defender. He's, what, 25, 26 years old. They also brought in Dennis Seidenberg, who is 1 year younger than I am. So he's, what, 37? I think, you know, it's good to have all these players, veteran players, come in and prove their worth. Look at last season. We went in down the stretch there with six defensemen who, together, I think, played 160 games at one point. You know, you had Sebastian Aho, you had Ryan Pulak, you had, well, Nick Leddy was the veteran back there at that point. So, you know, you don't want to get stuck in a situation where you have no vets back there or no NHL caliber defensemen, not taking anything away from the Islanders defensemen last year. Just as a unit, they were inexperienced and it definitely showed. But again, how much of that was the system, if there was a system really at all? So yeah, why get mad online about the team trying to give themselves a cushion with some players in a parachute, so to speak? But again, that's the joke about Isles Twitter, right? We're never satisfied. We're always mad about something, especially Islanders related. And another question, this time from another longtime follower in Obi-Wan Maroney. Always laugh at that name. He asks, what do you think is going to happen with the logjam of forwards in the bottom six? Some are legit NHLers. Does that mean if those players don't make the starting roster, do they go to Bridgeport, get let go, bought out, or become part of a deal? Now, there are a crazy amount of those forwards. And as I mentioned earlier to Nightvine, you know, you could see someone bought out. You could see someone traded. You could see someone waived. You could see a whole bunch of different scenarios. So as it's only the first day of training camp, I'm sure that these things will become more and more clear, you know, the further you get into the preseason and closer you get to the starting puck drop. So that will work itself out. Obviously, if things happen, you'll hear about it in a multitude of places. Might not be me breaking the news because obviously I'm always a couple of days behind, but you know, we'll definitely have some stuff to talk about, especially in that new Discord channel that I'm planning on doing. So check that out. All right, that's going to wrap it up for episode 6. I'm your host, Michael Sherline. Thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter, @IslesBlogger, @FaithfulIsles for the show. Check us out on Instagram, IslesFaithful, and check us out on Facebook, @TheFaithfulIsles. Have a safe weekend. If you're down south, hope you guys make it through the storm unscathed and in good health, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for listening.